Today on Real Life Radio.
Yes, it's easier to take a pill. Yes, it's easier to try to ignore it. But listen, it is all healing and it is all powerful when in faith we grab onto the sure foundation of God's word. And listen, we need to fight against these things.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. If you picked up your copy of the One-Year Bible yet, we'll be reading that One-Year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the One-Year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The One-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with the message titled, With Eyes Wide Open. You know, this series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 24, we'll consider the heart cry of mankind. You see, we really want to see God, but we can be blinded to what's true by all that's happened in our lives. Only those who have put their trust in the Lord will one day see God in total. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that our faith in Jesus is not a blind faith. The evidence of his life, death, and resurrection is really overwhelming. But many will miss the obvious witness of God's Son. Now with his message called With Eyes Wide Open, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 25, then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in some, all, that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Number one, mark it down. This is a beautiful, gentle rebuke by Jesus. When he says, oh, foolish ones, he's not saying, you fool. He's saying, you guys, you got what you need. You're not using it. You know how to get this answer, but you're not employing it. And then slow to believe. That word means your heart's cluttered with stuff. You've got what it needs. You need everything. It's there. You can make it. But your heart's cluttered. There's a lot of traffic in there. A lot of worry. Watch this. He says to them, you ought to believe in all. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, please recognize that from Genesis to Malachi, Jesus calls the scriptures, the word of God, it's all that you and I need, and he points them to the Bible. Gee, Pastor, can I trust my Bible today? Well, why don't you ask Jesus? He says you need to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Isn't that a great thing? I don't need to belabor this. It's obvious. Every Christian should be reading the Old Testament on a regular basis. In fact, you'll never understand the New Testament unless you study the Old. That's why you cannot come to this church without a sermon, without a message, citing from the Old Testament to answer the new. Also this, we can miss what's obvious. We've got the prophets of God. Let's read them. Do you not know who Jesus is? Read the prophets. Number two, the obvious witness of God's Bible. The Bible. In verse 27, Jesus says, and beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Is that not a pregnant verse? This is amazing. Jesus gives a Bible study starting with Moses. Does anybody know what that means? Starting with Moses? Can anybody remember or think about the first book Moses wrote? Genesis. What's the first verse in Genesis of chapter 1? In the beginning, God. Jesus says to these two disciples, I'll show you who I am. And he begins in Genesis 1:1 to argue the truth as to who he is, which means everyone can find out who Jesus Christ is, starting with Moses. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through. In John chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus says, if you believe Moses, he said this to the Pharisees, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? That's what Jesus Christ said about what Moses was talking about. The word expounded is a great word. He expounded to them the scriptures. This is a tremendous statement, church. It's where we get the word hermeneutics from, the science of Bible study. When you study the Bible, the way that God instructed and intended the Bible to be studied and looked at, you've come to this hermeneutics law, which means it's the proper science of biblical interpretation. If you read the Bible, maybe you're here today for the first time and you don't have a Bible. At the end of this service, we'll give you a free Bible. If you read that Bible with no external influences, you just read it. You say, God, I'm going to read it, help me to understand it. And you read it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to understand it. Ask God. His Bible's true and he wants you to know it. And you can begin in Genesis 1:1. And Jesus expounded to them. The word expound means to unpack the Bible. Jesus took it, walked them through it in a chapter by chapter or verse by verse concept. Wonderful. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, Peter said this, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Peter says the prophets longed to look into what they were speaking of. He expounded to them the scriptures. Thirdly, under this point, we can miss what's obvious when we miss the fact, the obvious fact, that Jesus is the Son of God. Then they drew near, verse 28 says, to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would keep going further on. He's just going to keep walking. But they constrained him. No, no, no. The word's very strong. They demanded of him to abide with them. And four, it was toward evening, and the day was far spent, and he went in to stay with them. Now watch this. You guys have your attention? I got to go quick here now. This is cool. He rebukes them with love. Don't you guys know your Bible? Yeah. Come on into the house with this, sir, mister, whoever you are. Come on in. Maybe they even said, talk to us some more. I think they did by how this ends. So he goes on in. They ask him to stay. I'm going to give you some verses. They won't appear on the screen, so get ready to write them down. We can miss what's obvious, and that's the obvious witness of God's Son. Jesus could have well able said to them, do you remember when Abraham said to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself the lamb? Did Jesus lean over to those two and say, that was me? That's Genesis 22:8. Did Jesus say to them, remember when Moses said in Exodus 3:14, when he said, Lord, who do I tell the children of Israel sent me? What do I say? And God said from the burning bush, I am who I am. Jesus would have leaned over to the table and said, that was me. Remember when David said in Psalm 22, verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet, speaking of the Messiah? That's me. Remember when Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14 said the Lord himself will give the nation a sign that a virgin will conceive and bear a son and you'll call his name Emmanuel, which being translated as God lives among us? That's me. What about when Micah said in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the towns of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the ruler to be Israel, whose goings forth or existence is eternal. Me again. Remember when Solomon said in Proverbs 30, verse 4, who has ascended into heaven and who's descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist and who has bound up the waters in his garment and who has established the ends of the earth? What's his name? And what's the name of his son, if you know? That's me. Point number three, we end in this third point. With eyes wide open, we can see only after we believe, Christian. Skeptic in the house, unbeliever, you think you can see today? Pastor, I have 20/20 vision. Maybe, maybe not. You may have 20/20 vision in the things of this world. Mark it. Those things of this world are perishing. How's your spiritual vision? Faith opens up our eyes wide. Do you have faith in God? Church, listen. People put faith in things that are not worthy of their faith. People put faith in bungee cords. People put faith in parachutes. Why would anybody jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Because they trust in the parachute. You're trusting in someone or something. Your eyes can be wide open, but unless you believe in God, you only believe in the physical things of this life, and the Bible says these things are perishing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Faith opens wide our eyes. And it says in verse 30, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, watch this, that he took bread. Okay, this is funny, first of all. He's not the host, he's the guest. What's he doing taking the bread? Is he not in total control of this moment? Which, look, this is not the Bible right now, what I'm about to say. This is not Bible. You got two people who invite the stranger into their home who have just got rebuked by this guy saying, hey, how come you don't believe in the Bible? They're now sitting down. Something has gone on to the point where he reaches over. And can you imagine somebody coming over to your house? You've invited them over and they're going through your fridge and your cupboards and saying, what would you like? You want some? He gets the bread. Look at your Bible. Verse 30. He took the bread, blessed it. Now he's praying at the table. He breaks the bread and he gives it to them. Verse 31, then, circle the word then. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Why? Why? Most scholars believe, and I happen to be one who believes this, that when he reached out to give them the bread, he would have given the bread with his hands. What would they have seen in a post-cross, post-resurrection glorified body? The scars and nail holes in his hand. They saw his hand and their eyes were open. See, well, so then Jesus did blind them earlier, so then he would show them later. Maybe it was this, that unbelief had stolen the hope of the Word of God out of their hearts, right? Unbelief keeps them from examining all of the facts in the light of God's word, not my feelings. And then on top of the fact that when they saw, after being rebuked, to look to the Bible, knowing the scriptures, they see holes in his hands. Their eyes were opened. I believe faith was born in that second. Belief was there, but waning. But my friend, today you might say, I believe in God. Oh, so what? Big deal. The Bible says Satan believes in God and trembles. He's not going to heaven. Jesus says there are people in Matthew 13 that believe in God for a while and then give up. They'll never make it to heaven, he said. Does your belief advance to faith? Do you have faith in him? Watch what happens. He vanished from their sight. By the way, you hit the word vanished here. I looked it up. It's ephantos in Greek, ephantos. It means to become invisible. It means to not be able to be seen. He reaches out, here, take some bread. Huh? We know who you are. Hello, gone. I like that. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, Old Testament passage, check it out. On that day, talking about the establishment of the kingdom and the millennium of Christ, it's yet future. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that are coming against or attacking Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have, what? Pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one who grieves for a firstborn son. What? They will look upon him whom they have pierced. That's yet coming. Zechariah 13:6. And one shall say to the other, or say to him, excuse me, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he will answer, these are those are which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Post-resurrected, Jesus bears the scars of the cross. The book of Revelation says that we will see the Lamb of God in heaven forever as though it had been slain. The scars of Jesus Christ. He opened their eyes by revealing to them the Word of God first. Always the Word of God first. It began to stimulate, open up, and make clear their thinking. And they begin to see. In fact, jot that down. Faith expands our minds to think. The world would have you to believe opposite. Well, you silly Christians, you believe in God. What a bunch of blind morons. Actually, the person that doesn't believe in God is a blind moron. He enjoys the things God gives, breathes God's air, enjoys his sunlight, looks around at God's creation, says there is no God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know why it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God? Because he cannot say in his mind, there is no God. The evidence is overwhelming. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No, listen, faith expands our minds to think. Verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I wouldn't you love to have been with these people? So they rose up that very hour. Wait a minute, I thought we just read a moment ago. The hour was late and it was time to go to bed. Hey, you guys, when Jesus gets a hold of your thinking, it's never late. And they went to Jerusalem. I think they ran 7 miles to Jerusalem. It's beautiful. Why did their hearts burn within them? He unlocked, unpacked, made real to them the Bible, made real to them the Word of God. Their belief became faith. I hear about that often. I love it when somebody comes into the church and they say, you know what, I came in, I sat down, I heard the message today, and something began to happen to me. I've had people come up and say, Pastor Jack, my friend who I brought here today thinks now after the message that I called you before the message and told you about their life because you mentioned this about them and that about them, and I don't even know who they are. Who does that but God only? He unpacks the Word of God and brings it home to them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life today. And so their heart was burning. In Romans 1:17, the Bible says, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. And maybe your heart is saying, man, I want this resurrected Jesus in my life. And then finally, look here, 33 to 35, faith causes us to see more clearly. I love this. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told them about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Don't make the mistake in thinking that it was communion. They were actually sitting down to eat dinner. It's not the communion service. They sat down to eat. And they said, you know what? We found out who he was when he began to pass us some bread. You guys, faith causes us to see more clearly. In John 20, verse 27, it's one of my favorite scriptures. And when you read John chapter 20, it's one of the greatest chapters of all of the Bible. But John chapter 20, you have the disciples are gathered together. But watch this. Finally, Thomas shows up. Thomas had been so bummed. And remember, what's Thomas known for? Being the doubter. So the first time Jesus appears to the disciples, Thomas isn't around. I don't know what he was doing. Who knows what he was doing? God knows. But the second time, the doors are shut and locked. The windows are shut and locked. All of the disciples, the apostles, are together. Thomas being there, Judas is dead. Thomas is there, and the Bible says in John 20 that Jesus appears. Remember how he vanished a moment ago? Now he shows up. Guys, we're talking about his glorified body, which the Bible says in 1 John, we're going to have one just like his. I don't know about you, but every guy thinks that's cool. Appear, disappear. Eat. Walk through walls. The food doesn't hit the wall and fall out. It goes with you. How does that happen? It's amazing. Jesus shows up. And I bet you in that room, everybody goes, yes! Woo-hoo! He's here! Can you imagine Thomas? He's not, man. Right? Oh, man. He's the doubter. He's famous for it. In fact, watch what happens. Jesus says to Thomas, hi, Thomas. Don't be unbelieving. Only believe. He says, reach your fingers here and look at my side, look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Then Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas's eyes were opened when he saw the holes in the hands and the spear hole puncture in Jesus' side. And the doubter said, oh, my Lord and my God. By the way, history is pretty awesome. Thomas went to North Africa and preached the gospel and changed the North African continent according to church history. You see, Jack, you know what? I want to believe. I need Jesus in my heart. I need Jesus in my life. But I've got so much doubt in my mind. I understand that. But what are your doubts founded upon? I guarantee you this. Your doubts are founded upon your perception and how you think and see things. Your doubt, your fear is anchored in the fact that whatever that issue is, in your emotions, it's gotten bigger than God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called With Eyes Wide Open. Thank you for spending some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com. I have Pastor Jack in the studio right now, and we're catching up about our current featured resource, the one-year Bible.
Yep.
So, Pastor Jack, what's something that you really like about this that really isn't so obvious?
So, Davey, here is a great thing, especially coming from a pastor's perspective. It is this. This will take the Christian through the Old Testament,
right,
all the way through to the New, and that is so advantageous because God's word is just as valid in the Old as is the New. In fact, there's no evidence that the New is certain without knowing the Old.
Yeah, good point.
Very important.
Yeah.
So this will help you and cause you to go through the Old Testament, and so much more will be understood when you get to the New. Because what is in the old is revealed in the new, and it's just fabulous.
And it really is true that literally thousands of these one-year Bibles have gone through this ministry.
Yeah, many, many.
I'm saying get yours quick.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know what I would do, and you're going to say, oh, that's a sales pitch. Wait a minute. We're not profiting from this.
Right.
Now, granted, those who publish this wonderful version of the Bible, I'm sure they do. This is not the point. Here's the point. This is the time of the season where people just in their minds naturally want to have a new beginning.
Yeah.
That's why people make, you know, New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that lasts a half an hour.
Sure.
You can hand somebody a Bible and say, hey, Fred, I don't know if you're into the Bible. It's a new year coming up. I thought I'd give this to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he might, you know, think nothing of it.
Right.
Or he might be upset by it. Or he might think, oh my gosh, I've always been intending to read the Bible. I'm going to take up that challenge. Mm-hmm. Friends, we need to be a little bit more bold mm-hmm. about getting the Bible out. Stop tiptoeing around. In Christmas time, New Year's time, give them a Bible.
Yeah.
The one-year Bible.
So you'd be smart to go to jackhibbs.com, get your one-year Bible, and as long as you're there, get your one-year Bible for friends, for family.
Yeah, absolutely. And if for some reason you miss this Christmas gift-type season, you can always get a copy there at jackhibbs.com. So, but really, you should start the year. Everyone should start the year in the Scriptures. Psalm 65:11 says that he has crowned the year with his goodness and all of his paths drip with abundance. How'd I know that? I read the one-year Bible.
All right, that's the one-year Bible, and it's our current featured resource. Join us this year, would you? Experience the power of reading through the Bible along with thousands of fellow believers. Receive a copy of the one-year Bible when you give a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Here's our website, jackhibbs.com. Once again, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.